Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Tom Radio, under the direction of Guido, Scoot, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting. It's Got Your Ears On.
All right, everybody. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido along with Scoot.
Hey!
And Johnson.
We're looking at the colonels, Guido.
The colonels. Scoot, you're bringing the cowbell to the house.
Do we need a little more cowbell?
You know, I was just thinking we needed more cowbell.
Yeah, we needed some cowbell.
I brought it. We brought some cowbell.
We need some cowbell this week, guys. 1 year anniversary of the show.
How about that?
1 year anniversary.
I feel like that deserves a cowbell.
It deserves a cowbell. So congrats to us. We've done 1 year. We've done actually a ton of shows in that 1 year's time as well. So we're over 50. We're like 54 shows. This will be show number 55, I think, for the show. You know, I'm proud to say, Johnson, that we are one of the few WVU podcasts that puts out something every week and has continued to do content. There have been others that has continued to do content during this COVID and nothing happening and not a lot to talk about, but we've forged on.
Yeah, and if you ever wanted a challenge, it was, hey, have a sports podcast when there's no sports. So
have a sports podcast about a specific team
that cannot play any sports. So I'm glad we've done it. We found stuff to talk about, Guido, and we've got more stuff to talk about this week. They're actually thinking about playing some football. So
yeah, it's fun. It's fun to be doing it. So to take that happy news and to pan it over to some not so happy news. WVU has announced two things this week in regards to football this year. One is no fans at the EKU home opener game.
Right.
And possibly fans for the Baylor game on October 3rd. And the second thing they announced, which is probably a bigger thing, is if they have fans at all this season, there's no tailgating this season. No tailgating allowed. The blue lot will not be open. You're not allowed to bring RVs.
But you're not surprised at that, right? I mean, I think I would have been more surprised had they said you're allowed to do some form of tailgating.
Well, here's two parts to that. Part one is that I don't know how you stop all of the tailgating. So there's obviously no sanctioned tailgating or whatever in the blue lot, the light blue lot, the Coliseum parking. But you have all of those parking lots that are not school operated that I'm sure will do something to keep that from happening. But on top of that, you have a lot of kids that walk from their dorms and on campus and other places that I'm sure tailgating will happen.
You know, Uncle Mark and Cousin Frank are going to turn up at that Chick-fil-A parking lot.
They're going to turn it up.
You know they're going to turn up. Yeah. That's what they do.
You know it's going to be hot in the Chick-fil-A parking lot.
Well, and you have a good point there, because it's kind of like, hey, kids, hey, 30,000 students, when you get back to campus, don't go to any bars or any parties or anything, okay? Okay, right. We're good. We're all good here. Okay, so I guess it's similar. You're saying that's essentially the tailgate talk, right? It's like, mm-hmm. Hey, there's no tailgating.
Well, I think what they've done is they have somewhat guilted you if you're an undergrad, and I guess graduate student for that matter, they've guilted you into saying, listen, if you want football, if you want these sports, you cannot act your age. You have to act older or something. I don't even know if that's acting older.
If you want the football, you got to be old and boring for the next couple months, okay?
In theory, sounds like a good idea, but like I've told you guys, and I think we've said it on this show, it's not the athletes I'm worried about. It's the guys and girls that live in the dorms with these guys that are the athletes. You know, what do they have to lose if they go out to a party? They're not, you know, their football season isn't over. Or, right. You know, they're not jeopardizing other athletes. They're you know, enjoying themselves.
The other part of it is, and I'm still in the, with, and I'm with Johnson, like, I'm still on the side that I don't see fans coming to any games this year. Like, I just don't see that. I think they're going to continue to say, we're going to try next week, but the numbers aren't going to allow it or whatever. But I think the other part is that if you don't allow tailgating and you do allow fans in and you only can allow a percentage in, so let's say it's 25% or it's 15,000 or whatever the number is, it, on top of people not getting primed by partying one way or the other, alcohol, no alcohol, having fun, getting excited about the game, tailgating before, on top of that, you're also having less people in the stands. So when they are there, it's going to be like, it's gonna be like the spring game, you know, the Golden Blue game. Like, it's gonna be like nobody really is gonna be amped up enough, or there's not gonna be enough crowd noise anyway. I'd almost rather see it no fans in the stands, and let's just pipe in the crowd noise so at least sounds on the TV side, it sounds semi-realistic.
Well, it is gonna be weird. I'm assuming they may still pipe in crowd noise though, right? Or no?
I don't know.
You don't think so? If there's some modicum of people in the stands, you think they won't pipe stuff in?
I don't know. I watched some of those high school games over the weekend on ESPN. A lot of them had fans in the stands, and they weren't piping any noise in, and you heard like the three people in the stands yelling. So I don't know. It'll be interesting, but you know, that's the only bad news. The good news we have to talk about, guys, is practices are happening. In the last week, they've had their first full team practice. They had a scrimmage on Saturday. Coach gave a really good press conference after the scrimmage. He seemed pretty happy with the offensive and defensive sides, you know, both kind of ends. The only side of the ball that he kind of talked about that he wasn't happy with, and here we go, boys, special teams. Not looking good for special teams already. He was not happy with how things looked with allowing a punt return for a touchdown and a couple of other things that happened. So that worries me a bit on the special teams side.
So, I mean, as much as things change, some things stay the same, right?
I feel
like that's been in check, though, the last few seasons. So,
would you call it the curse of Joe D?
We could call it that, yes.
We could call it that, yeah.
It's been since Joe DeForest took the reins of the special teams that things have not been the same.
But other than the problems in the special teams, and by the way, if you ever watch, just a little side note, if you ever get a chance, now that they do them completely on Zoom, these press conferences, these post-game press conferences with Coach Brown, if you ever watch them, you got to watch when Coach Greg Hunter, everybody loves Coach Greg Hunter, when Coach Greg Hunter comes on and asks his questions, he's like in his home office, and I swear the computer behind Greg Hunter is like a Commodore 64 from like, it's like his old school word processor that he got when he was actually coaching or something. Like, it's hilarious.
It's probably a brother.
It's too funny. But
Scoot saying that because he has one on his desk right now.
That's right.
But if you haven't seen it yet, and I'm sure everybody listening has seen it, the big thing that came out of this weekend's scrimmage was Tay Mayo, redshirt freshman safety, makes a phenomenal interception on Austin Kendall. Where he pretty much with his fingertips pulled it off the turf before it hit the turf. I mean, it was amazing. It was pretty awesome.
Well, and the funny thing is, when I first saw that, I just assumed it was on a WVU Twitter feed that I follow. And no, it made SportsCenter.
Yeah, ESPN top 10 plays.
So that's what caught my attention. How sweet was that? But yeah, phenomenal catch. I don't know how you have body control to do a somersault while you're picking that off your shoelaces, but pretty
Scoot
awesome.
Scoot can do it.
I could, yes. I have what some might say are a gifted ability to jump, as witnessed by my dunking of a basketball. Mr. Johnson, you were there and saw me voraciously, I think that's a word, throw the basketball down.
I was there. I don't know if those would have been the adjectives I would have chosen to describe it, but
there was some rim rocking.
Would you use the word agility when you saw Scoot slam a basketball as a 40-odd-year-old man?
Cat. They called me El Gato.
El Gato.
Got a question for both of you related to the football team. So we know that maybe by November, maybe we have some fans, maybe not. If it's limited capacity, and let's just play out some hypotheticals. Let's say that Oklahoma is a top 10 team. Do you think that's realistic to think?
Could be.
Okay. And let's say they're at WVU and WVU wins. When all 35 fans rush the field.
That would be
if
the
a
most...
bear, you know the saying about the bear in the woods?
Yeah, right.
That so would be the most us thing ever to finally
you
beat
know
them
that's
when
gonna happen.
No one's in the stadium.
You know going to happen. We're going to have a major upset. And it's going to be like people, they're just going to be panning the crowd. It's like 12 people, four of them are somehow student managers. like the Cobra crew, the Cobra towel crew.
So I think those Scoot football records, rankings, blah, blah, blah. What I think people really want to know is if there's only 20% of fans in the stands, is there still 100% of Chick-fil-A being sold in the South end zone?
I mean,
that's a good question.
I don't know.
I would assume so.
I can guarantee though you're going to get dollar coins back in return for change, or 50 cent
dollar,
pieces.
You get those dollar
weird
coins
50
back.
Cent pieces and dollar
that?
Coins.
That is odd.
I have no idea. It's the weirdest thing ever.
So, in other interesting news, when it comes to college football in general, the NCAA announced over the last week that everybody gets, this is a free year for everybody. You play fall collegiate sports, you do not lose a year of eligibility. If you play, if you don't play, it doesn't affect your eligibility. They did say that a school is not required to, if they honor your scholarship next year, they're not required to honor your scholarship the following year for seniors. But this starts to make an interesting sort of play on how you see some of these kids play. Take a kid like Zach Frazier, true freshman. He's going to be the backup center at WVU this year. This gives him 5 years of eligibility, possibly 6 years of eligibility if he gets on the grad transfer.
He'll be 32 years old.
Yeah, right.
When he
these
leaves
guys can play
West
until
Virginia University.
I think of that movie Necessary Roughness. You know, they're going to be like, "Oh, you're 28 years old. You still have a year of eligibility left."
Yeah.
But I think this is going to be really interesting to see a couple of things. One, what do some seniors do? Like, this is going to give seniors another year of eligibility, an opportunity to come back if they want to. What do what do coaches do? Do you take a kid like Garrett Green? Do you redshirt? Normally, in a normal year, he probably would have been redshirted this year. Is he going to be redshirted? Do we carry five quarterbacks? Like, what happens this year? It'll be sort of an interesting development as we get into the season. And keep in mind, there are roster limits. It's like 125 is what you're allowed to have on your active NCAA roster. So it doesn't really affect the roster limits. So it's kind of interesting.
Well, I would think it would be almost like a present to coaches, right? They're never in this situation where they have that luxury of not, you know, knowing they have that backup in their back pocket if they need it for that extra year of moving guys around. So I think it's going to be interesting. It's probably going to be something that goes against the grain of the chess they're usually trying to play with positions and players and eligibility.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think so. What this does is I think it makes the product on the field, the competition to get on the field, even tougher now, because you're going to have some of these older guys that do decide to come back, and some of the younger guys, I mean, if they have more talent, maybe they play. You know, it's going to be one of those things.
But you're
where,
right. The normal attrition of people moving on through the cycle and graduating and losing that year of eligibility that they'll now have. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean,
the product should be better for everybody all the way around, really, because now you're going to have a little bit more selection as to who's on the field for you.
But I mean, think about it. Like, think about WVU alone. Like, as seniors go, like, I mean, I can name one senior that I think wouldn't come back for a year of eligibility and will go into the NFL draft. Darius Stills, right? Can you name another senior that has high NFL draft potential that may not want to come back and see if they can get that one more year?
What about Vandarius Cowan and his, like, I feel like he's on his eighth year, even though he transferred in. He's had a bunch of injuries. He's
only a junior. He's only a junior.
Yeah, I don't think he's that's the thing though. It's not really just that, Guido. I really can't think of a lot of seniors off the top of my head.
I mean, there aren't. I mean, you got, you know, Kyle Poland, long snapper. He's a senior. Congratulations to him, by the way. Nice video of him getting his scholarship for the football team.
Yeah, that was cool.
Austin Kendall should have gone after a law degree, and he'd still have eligibility all the way through 7 years.
What about, yeah, exactly. What about Austin Kendall? This gives Austin Kendall another year of eligibility. Does he stay at West Virginia? Because he's not going to get drafted.
He'll be 48.
That's the weirdest situation for him, though. Like, it's such, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, and we're going to talk about it, but we don't really know where I think we know, but we haven't really committed to the quarterback position right now. And then when you toss that in, to me, that makes it even almost awkward. Don't you think, Scoot? It's
yeah. So Coach Brown's been super non-committal about it. He's still saying, or, you know, it's either Kendall or Deggy.
Do you want to know what my conspiracy theorist mind says, even though I don't normally have a conspiracy theorist mind?
Go ahead.
Is we are stringing Austin Kendall along because if Neil Brown comes out and makes a declaration, Austin Kendall's not going to play. He's just going to say, you know what? What's the point?
But why would he? I agreed with you until the point that the NCAA said that they're not going to lose eligibility. So he might as well just stay and then transfer as a grad transfer again, you know? I mean, he's going to not lose a year of eligibility.
But I think part of the reason why we're not hearing this is I think you do lose Austin Kendall, if not for anything, mentally. Maybe not physically, but mentally he checks out, I think. And now you're down to a bad situation where do you move Garrett Green up to the number two spot? Do you leave Austin Kendall there?
No. Here's my thought on it. So it's interesting. The quarterback situation at WVU is super interesting because, you know, I'm in the Jarrett Deggy side of things. I don't see how he doesn't start, I guess. I'd be surprised if they didn't go with him. It's kind of funny. You haven't heard a lot about him. But the only person that coach has really been talking a lot about in the press conferences when it comes to the quarterback side of things is Garrett Green a lot, and he's just been giving him a lot of praise. And I think that's just because you're trying to egg on the freshman a little bit. But keep in mind that we've got JUCO transfer Matt Cavallaro, who is in this year. And you also have Trent Jackson, who's a redshirt sophomore, who's, I think, a player that could really shine in this offense. I'm not necessarily sure if – Jarrett Deggy gets the job. I'm not necessarily sure I believe that Austin Kendall is the number two. I don't know if he holds that position anyways.
Yeah, and so to me, that makes it even more confusing. To me, I can't remember, at least in recent memory, when we've had this crowded of a quarterback room. Can you? It just seems like we never have this situation.
Well, I think that you've always had, you know, five, six quarterbacks in the program. And, you know, two of them have been redshirted or one thing or another. I honestly feel like it's a little deeper this year. And I hate to be anti-Austin Kendall. And granted, when you look at the numbers from last year, it's you know, they're not great, but they're not horrible. He's shaking his head. It's the interceptions, man. It's the 12 interceptions.
Oh, my God.
It's the interception at TD.
Does it surprise you that the SportsCenter top 10 play was a pick from Austin Kendall?
I know.
Is that a surprise to anybody?
I knew you were going to go there.
Is that a surprise?
No, it wasn't.
It's not a surprise. I don't dislike the kid. He sounds like he could be a great guy. He seems like a team guy, but come on.
A little bit in his defense in this, I almost wonder if the offensive line is that much better this year, like we're hearing from the press conferences and out of everything than last year. If the offensive line is strong this year, does that give up? I mean, a lot of those interceptions, a lot of that situation that Austin Kendall was in last year, guys, I mean, he had a lot of pressure on
him. The offensive line was not throwing those long balls that
floats McGoats.
Yeah. Floats McGoats out there. And my thing is, I'm not anti Austin Kendall either, but I guess my argument would be, you handed it over to Jarrett Deggy last year. He then went and won 2 of 3 games. His touchdown to interceptions were a lot better. Now, you know, small sample size, but comparatively to Kendall, better. So
it felt better.
What has he done to lose it? You know what I mean? That would be my argument, is like, well, what has he done to make you take it back?
I'm sort of ticked that it's still a question. If I'm him, like, I'd be ticked. Like, why are we even revisiting this? I thought I did a little bit of something here to kind of separate myself. And now I go into this off season and I've got a, not that you should be handed anything, but at the same time, like, we're how far along? How close are we to the first game? And no one has come out and said, you're the guy.
Well, I don't think it's going to come out until you get that. The pre-EKU, the pre-Eastern Kentucky.
I don't care what Eastern Kentucky knows. Let them know that I'm the
starter. No, I get it.
Starter.
But I just think that he's
Scoot, you don't want to show all your cards to the Colonels.
Right. I mean, I get it.
Not just that, not just showing all your cards to the colonels.
To the colonels.
But also the fact that I think that it just helps these guys practice a little harder. And that's been something he's talked about in every press conference, about how hard it's been to get these guys amped up and going.
How about the fact that we're probably splitting reps with the number ones between the two guys? So,
and that's what he said. He said that they split reps with the ones and twos.
That's a problem. Like, let's give the number one guy all the reps with the number one guys.
Well, what do you think? So the cynical side of me kind of laughs at that too, because like Guido said at the top, it's kind of like when if someone walked up to you and they're like, and you're Coach Brown and they're like, hey, you know, so, and they get into this quarterback conversation. You're like, man, how about that Garrett Green, right? It's like you're just avoiding. You're like,
yeah, right.
Hey, how about the new soft drinks in the concession stand, right? Am I right? Like, I just feel like it's, we're talking around it.
Does that mean that maybe there's problems with Jarrett Deggie? Like, not problems, like physically or anything, but like there's something about him that has made Coach Brown or the offensive coaches not commit to him like they would maybe other quarterbacks.
I don't really think so. I think we're probably reading more into it than, you know, we're looking for something that probably isn't there, but it is a little bit weird.
I think that they're holding it close to the vest, and I think that's the only thing. And I think it is Deggie. I'd be shocked if it wasn't.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if it's not him.
I mean, at least I hope this is the case. I don't think you'll see him all of the EKU game. I think that maybe it might be split half and half. You might see first half Davey, second half Austin Kendall.
That's a recipe for disaster.
You don't want a Jake Kelchner,
recipe
Darren,
for disaster.
Darren Studstill set up is what you're saying.
This is, name me a great team. Now I get it. What, Tebow and Chris Leak, they were pretty good together, right? Didn't they kind of mix and match with Florida?
Right. Yeah,
but name another team that did that successfully.
I just did. Jake Kelchner and Darren Studstill.
He said successfully.
Successfully. Not just
no,
did.
No, they were successful.
They were successful.
I was there. I saw it.
I don't think they do it all season, Scoot. You might even, if Garrett Green gets, doesn't, if Garrett Green gets eligibility, you might even see Garrett Green in the Eastern Kentucky game.
I don't think because they do. They do it at all. I don't think they do it at all. I just think they're, if I was
Markell Harrison didn't get to throw any balls, why don't we bring him back and we'll have him lace him up and drop the clipboard and go out there, tuck the dreads and go.
If I was going to poke at this subject a little bit at all, I would maybe lean on the, you know, I always feel like Austin is, he came to WVU because of Coach Brown. And I felt like, you know, we had heard of some relationship between them prior to this. And I always wonder if he's still trying to give the chance out there or extend some space out there for him to turn it around and try to be.
So are we hamstrung because of Neil Brown's relationships? Cause he had one with Jarrett Deggie's family as well. So are we kind of stuck?
No, I'm just saying if I was going to speculate that might be.
And I'm not trying to be like, I'm not trying to like cut Coach Brown or anything, but on the outside, are we stuck? I don't know how else to say it. Are we stuck with Coach Brown having good relationships with these two families that it's now put us in a predicament where he doesn't feel good telling one guy or the other that they're not the guy?
I think we're stuck with two quarterbacks that are good, but haven't quite either one pulled away head and shoulders above the other yet. I think that will happen. But if we're stuck, quote unquote, with anything, that would be the thing. It's probably a difficult decision right now, I would think.
And I think if we're going to stick with the word stuck, I think we're stuck with the fact that this is only his second year. This is only his second class of recruiting. You know, he's just getting the parts that he needs for his offense to be put into place. And I think that's also on the coaching level as well. And so at the end of the day, I mean, I think and we'll talk that this is next week's show, not this week's show, but we'll talk about expectations for the year next week. And at the end of the day, I think though, the expectations for this team are to be better this year, markably better this year. But I still think there's going to be hurdles and there's bumps and there's pieces and parts that aren't in the place yet. And I think the quarterback position is one of those.
I do know one clear-cut favorite for Neil Brown, and that is this sneaky goatee. That is the one. That is the one tried and true.
It is I noticed it in the press conference this week again. It's shrunk. It shrunk down a little bit. It was thick 2 weeks ago. it's gotten a little, it's thinned out.
Maybe
now,
that's
again.
A shaving mishap. Sometimes when you're shaving and you kind of screw something up, you try to reinvent the facial hair look. Like you all of a sudden start looking like a Three Musketeer. And not on purpose, but you're like, oh, crap.
Comes into the next press conference with like a handlebar mustache and a monocle, we'll know that that's what happened.
He's having a little facial hair crisis.
People start calling him D'Artagnan.
Before you move on, though, Scoot, do you think the quarterback maybe, not 100% yet on the quarterback has anything to do with the Gerard Pacquiao calling?
The Air France.
Calling plays and maybe, trying to feel out who his QB1 is going to be?
That's possible. That's a possibility that I guess I never really considered. I still don't like non-committal this close to the actual games being played.
Okay.
You want to play these silly, let's split the reps thing, the first couple weeks of camp? Okay. We're getting kind of close now. Like, it's getting almost crunch time. Austin Peay and Central Arkansas were lacing it up, and they were playing last week. And we watched, oddly enough, a lot of high school football was on ESPN this past weekend.
Are you saying that getting prepared for EKU is crunch time? Like you gotta get.
Hey man, it might be one of the few games we got. It's crunch time. It's crunch time, man.
It'll
you can't
that one game.
Like if this is the only time everyone's healthy, it's crunch time. You might go 1-0 or 0-1.
Let's stick with the.
That is a very profound statement.
That is very profound.
You might go 1-0 or 0-1.
I was sitting here thinking, what is the other alternative? Oh God, thank you, Scoot.
0-1. There could be a tie. 0-1.
Thank you for clearing
that
up.
Well,
that
would be horrible. Wouldn't that be like the worst if you played one game and it was a tie? Running back position still really not developing over the past couple weeks. I mean, he. I will say he's still been talking a lot about Alec Singfeld and. Letty Brown. The question I have for you guys is, out of those two guys, who gets more carries this year?
I'd rather not talk about either of those guys until they play my man Mark Rucker. Give Mark Rucker the ball. Let him tote it a little while.
Well, I would have said coming in, Letty Brown, but coach has been super high on Sinkfield, so after the first couple of press conferences, I just kind of assumed he was making his mark so far in the early go. But I don't know. I thought last year, Letty Brown was such a load when he was carrying the ball that he would have the advantage. But like I said, all the praise I had heard early on was for Alex Sinkfield.
You got Tony Mathis. I just kind of don't want this like running back, these like four guys that are going to be in and out all season long. Like, I'd like to see us have a leader in that role.
Well, I like the depth, but I'm with you. I think I'd like to see a clear cut winner.
Me too. And the quarterbacks. I feel like that's what we're doing with the quarterbacks.
I hear you, Scoot.
Let's pick one and go with it.
You sound like grumpy old man. In my day, we picked a quarterback already, and we liked it.
We had one guy that threw the ball, not four, coming in and out, in and out.
He never got hurt. He always played. I don't know. Have you guys been watching? I know you guys follow WVU football on Twitter. Have you seen these video series they've been doing? The Real Neil. It's amazing. You've got to watch it if you haven't seen it
yet. Yeah, and they're really well done. I mean, they're cool.
Well, first of all of WVU's video content that they have been putting out.
It's all quality stuff.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's better than it's ever been. And I would like to say it's probably better than a lot of other colleges out there. I mean, the quality's good. The content's been really good. The videography is good. Like everything about it, the editing, it's amazing. I super enjoy it. The Real Neil thing that's out, which is kind of like they're doing like this, I don't know, Hard Knocks behind, whatever, day in the life kind of style, where they follow Neil Brown around all day during practices and all that. And it's kind of awesome. Like his daughter came to his office and I guess she's a softball player. She's like little, she's probably what, 7, 8. And she's a softball player. And he takes her out on Mountaineer Field and is throwing pitches and teaching her how to hit, talking about having the belly button point towards the pitcher and all that stuff. And
I can tell you that that's a very difficult thing. I've been known to, hit many a batter with my pitches, male or female. I will hit you. You get close enough to my plate.
He didn't brush your bat.
I'm sending the
message.
You're
brushing the kids.
I don't care how old they are.
Like, hey, lean in there. You might find one in your ear hole.
That's
Sally.
Right.
Is that what you're
doing? That's right.
That's not
the
very
hot
nice.
Stinky cheddar. You're getting the hot stinky cheddar, whether you like it or not. It's coming.
There was a part in one of the videos you guys would have liked, made a little fun of me, I think. On he was talking to some of the players. I guess it's common for the kids nowadays. They wear the socks with the sandals now. Like they wear the Birkenstocks and the slip on and the socks. And he goes, you know, he goes, in my house, we don't wear socks with Crocs. And I wanted to be like, that's what happens in my house too. I don't wear socks with my Crocs. So
you're like, yeah, who does that, coach? That's weird.
Something else interesting in those videos, guys, is they did what do they call that, the Oklahoma drill? Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Where the two linemen fight? Yeah.
Yeah,
so they showed a video of Darius Stills and James Gittner, who's a redshirt sophomore.
Gemiter,
I don't know. Anyways. Darius had a little rough time with him.
We've got to get that kid's name right.
Gittner.
Gittner. G-M-I-T-E-R, right?
It's G-M-I-T-E-R.
Gittner.
We
got to
get
something
it right sometime this season, because if he's knocking Darius Stills back, he's going to have a lot of plays.
What's his first name?
James. I'll just call him James.
Jimmy?
But there's probably like, what, 10 other James on the
Jimmy Gittner.
I think it's James.
Hummus. Hummus Gittner.
James. James, we're sorry if you're listening. We apologize.
There was another name you threw out there earlier that was a little sideways, but I let it roll.
Greg Hunter.
It wasn't Greg Hunter. That one was good. That one was clean.
Good. But anyways, get a chance. Check out that video series if you don't. College football news. Big Ten says they're coming back Thanksgiving, possibly. That could be exciting.
Roll my eyes. I think it's not happening. This is just them trying to, like, save face.
Well, what a cluster that is there, right? It's like, hey, we're adamantly telling you we're not doing something, and then all we've heard since then are rumors that they might be doing some other stuff.
Well, bottom line is they made a decision probably too soon, and now they're facing the consequences of making a decision so soon. Like, because once they made that decision and the other three conferences, I mean, Pac-12 set them aside. Yeah. It's West Coast. Nobody watches West Coast. Like the A's. So once those two conferences decided to stop playing or not play the fall, the other three said, well, you know what, we're just going to see how it goes and we're going to try to play. Then all of a sudden the backlash has been like nonstop. You've got Justin Fields setting up petitions and fans petitioning and coaches, and Scott Frost is like openly lobbying to get his college football team. I think the football team at Nebraska would like to secede from Nebraska, the college itself. Like, I feel like he's like the Tennessee.
I think you're right.
He's like the Tennessee of secession. So it's
super interesting. And with the news that came out this week that it was pretty much E. Gordon Gee who made Big 12, or at least was the final vote that pushed Big 12 into playing football this year. And I had heard an article, I'd heard another story, or maybe it was on Sports Talk, that the ACC had told Bob Bowlesby that whatever the Big 12 did, they were going to do. Because SEC had already said at that point, we don't really care. And the SEC doesn't care. Like, they don't, down there, they're like, they're going to do whatever they want to do. And the ACC had said, well, if you guys play, we're going to play. And then originally, I guess, E. Gordon Gee didn't know that Shane Lyons was going to vote yes on the Friday night phone call. And Shane Lyons voted yes for sports and then called E. Gordon Gee. And that's when he changed his vote for as the president, and they all
do you
of a
think
playing college football.
Do you think he gave a fire and brimstone speech about him lacing up the cleats if he has to, and, you know, maybe with some of that music that they put with the Leave No Doubt in the background.
The problem is like I don't think that you could get like a stew type, amp up, talk from Igor and Guy because of the pants.
If it's a conference call, you put the music in the background. Maybe he's got Sean Mariner, the guy that does a lot of those WVU videos. Maybe he's got him doing a little production in the background, where you've got some slow motion.
Maybe
Gordon Guy putting on putting on some cleats,
lacing it up.
Yeah,
ready.
Maybe 19
throwing that Heisman out awkwardly.
Yes, yeah. Maybe 1930s style
leather,
like Greasy Neal
leather helmet.
Yes. With Greasy Neal. A lot of movement, by the way, in the NFL ranks for WVU players. Tavon Austin, Kevin White are both with the 49ers.
Yeah, right.
So are we going to be 49ers fans?
It's West Coast.
I mean, I'll pay more attention to him. Yeah, I love that stuff.
Will Clark signs with the Lions, so that's nice. Daryl Worley with the Cowboys. So a lot of things happening.
Yeah, and we talked about it on an earlier show, but Carl Joseph is now with the Browns as well. He was dealt from the Raiders. So a lot of guys moving around. And there was a really nice article. I'll try to add it to the show notes here, but the Titans are still really excited about David Long as he heads into his second season. So there's a lot of good stuff going on for Mountaineers in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I know the Giants. Dave Sills is doing well with the Giants as well. So I mean, a lot of good Mountaineer stuff going on out there. And Nyandi Kadjust is playing this year for I think the Patriots.
And Geno.
And Geno's backup.
Geno's still backing up Russell Wilson, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's still backing up Russell Wilson. So, and then other WVU professional athletes. How about Ryan McBroom, Scooty? Royals.
Yeah, he's like Mr. Pinch Hit home run guy.
Three home runs in 18 days, pinch hitting for him. And on top of that, he's got five home runs and 56 at-bats.
You mean Ryan McBoom, that's what they're calling
McBoom.
Him.
McBoom. Ryan McBoom.
And so, Jet Jerko had a couple the other day, I believe, against my beloved Pirates.
And John Means not looking so hot and having some health problems this year with the Baltimore Orioles.
That is true.
He'll bounce back. I mean, we're all still rooting for him. He had such a great season last season.
All-star last year. Yeah, right. But, boys, so a lot going on. Well, listen, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll do everybody's favorite game show on a West Virginia University sports podcast. It's called Bluff the Fluff, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
Vortech Knives is a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in high-quality steel, fast-opening, everyday carry-in knives. If you go to VortechKnives.com today and use the code GYEO, you get a 25% discount on your entire order. That's Vortech, V-O-R-T-E-K, Knives.com, a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in fast opening, high quality, everyday carry knives. Vortech Knives.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Got Your Ears On, Guido, along with Scoot and Johnson. Don't forget, check us out on social media. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Got Your Ears. You can also find us on Facebook. Just search Got Your Ears On. By the way, if you use Facebook on a computer, that new Facebook layout is horrible. So we're trying to get content up there, but it's like trying to weed your way through a terribly designed
Facebook
website.
Are you a big Facebook fan? I'm not a big Facebook fan.
I'm not. And then they made Facebook worse. So like they took Facebook, which is something I didn't really care for already, and then they made it worse.
They were like, hey, let's mess around with this. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I usually live on Twitter. Facebook, I go to, but I don't go nearly as much.
Last week, I didn't post any Got Yours On content on Facebook because I was too mad at Facebook and how I couldn't figure out how to get even to our site, to our page, to add content.
Scoot still, he just uses email.
Scoot, he's got his MySpace page.
I do have MySpace.
He's still friends with Tom.
I do a lot of MySpace and Napster.
Yeah, Napster. He's been huge with the Napster. Well, guys, listen, it's time for Bluff the Fluffs, everybody's favorite game show on a West Virginia University podcast. Last week, Johnson won when we just did random WVU sports history.
I can't believe he won again. Dag nabbit, Johnson, you pesky quiz show winner.
Guido, I'm still mad, though, that we did not get the 100th anniversary jersey number question. That one stuck with me because one of us should have gotten that and we did not get that.
So this week, as always, we try to pick something that's very topical to what we talk about on the show. So today is WVU quarterback history.
Ooh.
So questions about WVU quarterback. I can tell you one thing. You will know, even you, Scooty, who is a shorter-term WVU fan than Johnson and I, you will know all of the quarterbacks listed on here. I do not have, you know, Fuzzy Walter from 1923 on here. You will know all these quarterbacks. I almost had a couple of those kind of questions. I thought, oh, that'd be fun, but no, I did more modern ones for you. All right, so here we go. As always, correct answers are worth 5 points, and you can steal it for 10 points, and then the final bluff is worth 25 points. These are all multiple choice questions. We had a complete and total random flip of the coin before we started tonight, and Johnson, congratulations, you get to go first this week.
Wow.
And the first question is to you, Johnson.
Let's do this.
All right, multiple choice questions. Here we go. What WVU quarterback holds the record for the most passing attempts in his career? Is it A, Mark Bulger, B, Geno Smith, C, Pat White, or D, Brad Lewis?
Side note, Scoot, I really wanted it to be Mark Bulger, first of all.
Mark.
It's a combo
Bulger.
Of Bulger.
Say his name,
Mark.
Badger was one of my favorite. Mark Badger was one of my favorite quarterbacks.
Mark Badger is my favorite.
We tease because we love. We kid because we love. Okay, so the tricky part of this is tenure, right? Because so you wouldn't necessarily go immediately for Pat, but he played all four, you know, the better part of all 4 years. So even though it's against my better judgment and I would think to pick someone else, I'm going to go with Pat.
Sorry, that answer is incorrect. Scooty, back to you. Is it Bulger, Smith, or Lewis?
Oh, it is such a slam dunk. It's, of course, Geno Smith.
That's correct. Geno Smith had 1,465 passing attempts in his career, besting second place Mark Bulger by almost 400.
I way overthought that one.
He's throwing to Steady. He's throwing to Tavon.
Well, he's throwing to everyone, every
and
game.
Every little shuffle pass and, like, looked like a weird handoff, but the ball left his hand for a split second and it went into Tavon's hands. That counts as a pass.
Well, and if you look at total yards passing, he has dwarfed everyone else on the list, which is a weird thing.
All right, next question. Congrats, Scoot. This next question is for you. Scoot takes a 10-0 lead. Jeff Hostetler is the only WVU quarterback to win a Super Bowl, but he didn't start his career at WVU. Where did he transfer from before he played at WVU? Mm. Was it A, Pitt, B, Maryland, C, Penn State, or D, North Texas State?
That's a tough one. That is a tough one. He had a mustache, which is something you don't often see out of a quarterback, just straight mustache.
Delay tactic.
Beard or goatee. I am going to go with Maryland.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Johnson, back to you for the steal. Is it Pitt, Penn State, or North Texas State?
Scoot, Jeff Hostetler transferred into Morgantown from Happy Valley. He was a Penn Stater.
That is correct. Penn State. He was a Nittany Lion for all of a season and then came to WVU. Congratulations, Johnson. You tied it up 10-10.
Nice. I needed it after that terrible opening volley answer I gave.
Were you totally overthought?
I overthought that.
All right. Here we go. Next question, Johnson, is to you. All right. Which WVU quarterback has the most 300-plus yard passing game? All right, so most games passing more than 300 yards. Is it Mark Bulger, Oliver Luck, Will Greer, or Geno Smith?
Oh, man. This is tough. This is tough because I want to overthink it again.
I want you to overthink it.
I'm going to go with Geno on this one.
It's incorrect. It is not Geno Smith.
I thought I wasn't overthinking it.
Oh, silly Johnson.
Maybe you overthought the overthinking of it. All right. Scoot, back to you for the steal and 10 points.
This is a weird happenstance. He wasn't here for very long, but I'm going with Will Greer.
That's correct. Will Greer had 19 300-yard passing games. Geno only had 17.
Wow. We were winging it with Will.
We were winging it around. So congrats. Scoot steals another one and gives him another 10-point lead, 20-10. And the question is back to you, Scooty. Who was the last WVU quarterback to be a team captain? Okay. To be listed as a team captain. Was it Will Greer, Skylar Howard, Geno Smith, or Austin Kendall?
Ooh, that's a tough one. You threw me for a little bit of a loop there. I'm still going to go with Will Greer.
Sorry, that's incorrect. Last quarterback to be a team captain, Johnson. 10 points for the steal.
Again, I feel like I'm finding new and innovative ways to just second guess my initial thought on these. But on this one, I think I'm going to go with Austin Kendall.
It's incorrect. The last WVU quarterback to be a team captain, Skylar Howard.
Oh, okay. All right.
2015. So there you go. Nobody gets points there. And we move on. And this question is back to you, Johnson. Which one of these NFL-drafted WVU quarterbacks threw the most interceptions during their career in Morgantown? Was it Mark Bulger, Oliver Luck, Geno Smith, or Pat White?
Ugh. Most interceptions. Well, I guess I'm relating that to tons of attempts, and once again, I'm going to go with Geno.
Sorry, that's incorrect. Not Geno. Now you've dug deep. You should have guessed Geno on the first one, and you've dug
deep. Double down on Geno every time.
Yeah, I mean, any other questions that have Geno, I'm just not going to, whatever it is. Guy's named right. Geno. I'm not going to pick Geno.
All right, Scoot. Mark Bulger, Oliver Luck, or Pat White?
Well, interesting enough, I feel like he had a good career, but it wasn't one that I would say was, wow, super prolific. I'm going to go with Mark Bulger.
Okay. That's incorrect. The answer is Oliver Luck threw 45 interceptions. Wow. He was the Austin Kendall of his days.
Really?
Threw 45 interceptions while he was at WVU.
Some might say his 46 was to the Big 12 and WVU. He threw WVU to the Big 12.
What did we say his wrestling announcement was going to, like, his, you know, if he threw down on
luck's
somebody.
Run out, your luck's run out.
Yeah.
Your luck's run out, sucker. He's giving you the people's severance pay.
That's right.
All right, so we're down to the last question, Scoot. This question is for you. You've got a 10-point lead on Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
And here we go. You ready?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Geno Smith holds the record for the most passing yards in WVU history.
Oh, good. A Geno question.
11,662. Probably. Well, may not ever be broken, by the way. How many more yards does he have than the second place passer, who is Mark Bulger, by the way? How many more yards does he have right now in that race? Mm. Is it 1,277 more yards, 5,122, 3,509, or 2,169?
I'm liking 3,509.
That's correct. 3,509. Bulger had 8,153 and 11,662 for Geno, which is just outrageous. How many?
And Scoot, apparently it was a given I was going to get that wrong if it came back to me anyway. So it's a good thing you just went ahead and answered it.
That's correct.
All right. So Scoot, who was making a comeback on Johnson, has lost last week, has a chance to close that gap a little bit. has a lead right now, 25 to 10, a 15-point lead. But the final bluff question is worth 25 points, boys. So it could be winner take all right here. Guys, as always, we have you pick a buzzer before we start. And Scoot, what is your buzzer this week?
That's actually kind of close to a buzzer, really.
All right, a little cowbell from Scoot. Yeah, I guess it's kind of like a bell.
It's kind of like a bell.
What's your bell?
Yeah. All
right. And Johnson, creatively, I'm sure we know what it's going to be, but what's your buzzer this week?
James.
And you have to say it like that. You can't speed it up. You can't yell it out. You've just got to come in with a James.
Oh, I don't know about you guys. Something completely wrong with the two of you. All right, so here we go. This WVU quarterback not only got 6 sacks in a game, tied, by the way, for the second most in a game of all time. First place is tied between Skylar Howard and Will Greer. Both got sacked 7 times in a game once. But this player got sacked 6 times in a game, but still beat Pitt. All right. Which quarterback is it? Is it Jeff Hostetler, Major Harris, Chad Johnston, or Jake Kelchner?
James.
Johnson. Can you win it on this question?
I'm going to go with Chad Johnston.
That's correct. In 1994 against Pitt in the backyard brawl, he was sacked 6 times.
That's the one I was thinking of too. Remember that ended on the Zach Abraham bomb, like Hail Mary. It went back and forth the whole game.
Yeah.
Some crazy score.
That score of that game was like 46-42 or something like that.
Yeah, some crazy score or something like that. Sweet. Scoot, you heard it here. James for the win.
And Johnson wins 35-25. Scoot cannot get it back. Johnson now has a lead of 8-5. Scoot, how you feeling?
Cheated. I feel cheated.
And my apologies to all questions related to Geno Smith.
All right, guys.
So I'm up 8-5 now.
Yeah, Johnson, so you take an 8-5 lead over Scoot, so congrats on that. Well, listen, guys, let's take a break, and we'll come back with a segment we like to call I Can't Believe My Ears. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
Tactical Legion Knives, a West Virginia owned and operated company that specializes in heavy duty tactical knives and gear for the professional warrior, the weekend warrior, and the outdoor warrior. Our products are built tough. For who? For warriors. Hey Mountaineer fans, make sure you go on Amazon and search Tactical Legion Knives, and when you do, make sure you put in the promo code 25TOBRADIO for Tob Radio. You'll get 25% off on Tactical Legion Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. Don't forget, folks, check us out online, gotyourearson.com. And Johnson's kind of like the hub of everything about us.
Yeah, so every week we take all the info that we talk about here on the show, and we put all the show notes and everything into a blog post right there on the site. And then if you visit the site, you can listen to the show right there in the sidebar. We put the link right on the show. And then we also have all the links where Guido has us posted on all your favorite podcast sources. So check it out.
Check that out. We definitely have some exciting stuff hopefully coming up this fall on the website with maybe some merch, and you might be, there might be some other exciting things coming. We're working on
keep
some stuff.
Keep
your eyes peeled. Keep your ears on. Scoot, tell us what you got for I Can't Believe My Ears.
I always think of a rooster during this segment.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Johnson. I'm glad you said that because this week's Can't Believe My Ears is about animals.
Okay.
Okay. What do you know about cows?
Well, probably more than you.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but okay.
Well, I do know that you don't have the cheese doesn't come straight from the cow. There's a process to get it from when it turns the milk into cheese. But
what do you know about buffalo?
I know they're not cows.
Okay. How about a beefalo?
A beefalo. Oh,
are you familiar with a beefalo?
I am not.
A beefalo is half cow, half buffalo.
Okay.
And this story is a little bit more near and dear to my heart only because of the location that it takes place in. So a beefalo got loose from Massachusetts. Okay.
As they often do.
A beefalo bull that belonged to a Massachusetts farmer escaped from a trailer outside a meat processing facility.
Well, he knew what was up.
He knew was He's like, we got to get out. I got to get out of here.
That's a smart beefalo.
Yeah.
It ran away on August 3rd. It was not seen again until 2 weeks later on the loose, 2 weeks and showed back up in Terryville, Connecticut, which is like 15 minutes from where I grew up, which is hilarious because like, I don't even know if there's a farm in Terryville, let alone a wild beefalo on the loose.
Just roaming the landscape.
Just roaming.
Little walkabout.
The
four-lane highways of Hartford.
The brief capture attempt was called off because of aggressive behavior. What are your thoughts on aggressive beefalo behavior?
Is this anything like the wild boar that tore through the nudist camp and stole a laptop? Like, was it that kind of behavior? Because I don't think we condone that from this beefalo.
Very similar. I feel like it is.
I'm a little more concerned, Johnson, about what the kind of content Scooty's searching for on the internet. First, it's a wild animal running through a nudist colony. Now it's a animal that's running through Connecticut, New York's frying pan hat.
If you've ever been to Connecticut, it's a little odd that you would see wild or domesticated animals running around the streets of Connecticut. True?
You know, true. Connecticut is the hardest state to get out of, though. I mean, I'm sure that beefalo got into Connecticut and then he was like, stuck on 95, then tried to get to the Merritt Parkway.
Yeah, he's like stuck northbound. He's like, oh my gosh.
And he's like, oh, I'll cut through this town and hit 84, but then it was all backed up.
84 in Waterbury's, oh man, it's just a bottleneck. So that's probably what happened to him.
And that's probably what made him aggressive too.
Now I'm gonna tell you, both of you fellas, where I grew up, which is pretty much this town that this beefalo was found in. This is like a stop what you're doing, like, major news event. Like, this is not like here in West Virginia.
That's like a Tuesday.
You're going to have a cow out in the middle of the road, which to me is still ridiculous. One time I drove over a Cornish game hen.
Wait, you drove over it?
I killed a Cornish game hen. Yeah.
Aw.
Hey, man. You don't see that kind of stuff where I'm from. It's ridiculous. Now, I say it's a Cornish game hen. My wife probably would tell you it's like some sort of pheasant or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like no one in your neighborhood would call it a Cornish game hen, first of all.
But I don't think anybody would.
So I ran over one. That was big news for me. Run across a beefalo? Yo, that's a big, scary animal. Cows are big, scary animals. One time... Side note.
Is it like a minotaur though? Is it like all hefty up front like a bull and then there's like udders and stuff in the back, or like what's going on there?
Did you say is it like a minotaur? Is that what you said?
Yeah, you know, like it's...
You make it out to be like the Motar guy from Progressive. It's not that. It's not the guy that's half man, half motorcycle.
Right, that's what I'm wondering.
It is it's like half, it's got like I think the furry shaggy stuff that a buffalo would have, but maybe like the back end of a cow? I don't know.
Kind of looks like a cow. It just looks like a cow, to be honest with you.
But they're mean.
Half bison, half cow, half bovine. It looks like a cow.
One time, a guy that I know here in West Virginia, he had this cow, and it was urinating nonstop, which to me is cause for concern, right? I don't think cows should be doing that. I don't know. I don't know a lot about bovines, but I think that's a sign of distress. So it is for me personally, you know, if I start urinating nonstop, I'm nervous. So, this cow's got some issues and, he says, hey,
maybe
we got to get this
tax season.
We got to get this.
Like, who knows, Scoot? Give him a break.
Well, we got to get this cow in this barn, he says. Okay, so I help.
Wait, you help? This is your buddy's cow.
Like, yeah. He turns and you're standing.
Like,
there.
I'm like the
you're
guy.
You're the guy
like,
that he called?
Well, I'm standing there so it doesn't go the direction he doesn't want
it to go. You're standing there in a pair of chaps and a cowboy hat, and he's like, well, let's rustle this boy up.
Scoot's there in his Chuck Taylors and a pair of like, you know, khaki cargo shorts.
You see a cow urinating nonstop. What's your first thought?
I don't want to get near that cow.
Guido?
Like there's something wrong with that cow. I don't want to get near
Scoot's
that cow.
Like Scoot's worried he's got like mad the cow's got mad cow.
Yes, mad cow, exactly right. So my thought is this thing has got mad cow. So I don't want to go anywhere near it. Well, we get this cow.
I mean, look, Dr. Quinn, like, so you know that peeing a lot is mad cow disease.
Well, it was kind of like when it was walking, it was real like loosey goosey, kind of like kind of had a little bit of a Jackson jiggle to it. Like okay. Walking toward the stall. So it gets in the stall and my friend, so-called friend, says, hey, we got to give it some corn down this like little slot that goes into the barn. Okay. So like we got these corn cobs and I go to throw a couple of these babies down the little slider chute thing that goes into the, I guess wherever the corn goes. I don't even know. I don't know all enough right. about barns or
like
cows or any of this.
That's not what it's called, but really
talk about this story.
The corn chute. You're right down the corn chute.
So there I am with these cobs looking at this corn chute.
It's kind of like a mailbox for corn. So I'm sliding corn into this mailbox for corn and
okay.
Wouldn't you know it, that cow licked my right hand. I wanted to cut it off. I was looking for a coping saw, a bandsaw, an axe, anything that I could never use this right hand again. This was the hand I eat with. I shake hands with this hand, and I've got mad cow on it. I thought I'm going to die. I told my wife, I'm going to start. If I get a little, like, unstable or look like I'm kind of got some kind of weird saunter when I walk.
I start wetting myself.
Just, yes, oh my please, God. Just send me to the hospital.
Your buddy's like, listen, you're ridiculous.
I guess long story short, they felt that the cow was bitten by a snake, which is also very odd.
Oh.
And apparently that causes cows to pee nonstop.
Did you go home and just like scrub the skin off your hand or something? Or what did you do?
Oh my God. Scalding hot water. Lots of soap. I probably put mouthwash on it too because I don't know. I thought maybe the alcohol content in the mouthwash might kill something. I was just, oh.
Scoot, there are days I wonder how you survive in this world.
There are days where you've not been licked by a cow with mad cow. If you were licked, man, you'd be thinking twice too.
This is true. Well, I hope everybody has enjoyed our third segment that we like to call All Creatures Great and Small. And you'll be back next week for when we talk about whatever other animal Scoot finds a story about on the internet. So keep looking them up, Scooty.
Well, it's either my go-tos are that or Guinness Book of World Records. I had another Guinness Book of World Records if you'd like to hear it. A guy set the world record for the longest and tallest mohawk.
Oh, I like it.
It was like
was he in California? I feel like this guy was in Southern California.
7 foot tall mohawk.
Oh, wow.
Or he was in Sweden. It was like Southern California or Sweden.
How do you even like, why would you want us? It's just a long hairdo is what it is.
All right, guys. Well, listen, we'll be back next week. Next week's show, very exciting. We'll be doing some preseason talk, a little bit of predictions of what we think the season's going to look at, how many wins and losses.
Imagine that. I'm excited. Like actual nuts and bolts, scores discussed and stuff.
It's happening.
So you're saying we might actually have a quarterback to talk about, not 15?
I bet.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. So we have a, you know, next week's show, and then that's our pre-Eastern Kentucky game show. So we'll be primed and ready for some football. So definitely tune in next week. Don't forget, tell all your friends to listen, like, and describe. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, social media, at Got Your Ears. You can also check out our website, gotyourearson.com. We appreciate y'all listening. Don't forget, if you want to give us a call, you can call, leave us a message. It's 304-518-GYEO on your telephone. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back next week with another show. You've been listening to Got your ears on.